Well, today we're talking about the problem of perfectionism. But more importantly than just talking about the problem, we're talking about how the grace of God takes that crushing weight off of our shoulders and places it gently onto His. And throughout this series, we've been replacing the almost truths that culture preaches with the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth that Jesus teaches. And the problem with almost truths is that they almost work until they don't. They sound good at first, and they maybe give you a little bit of what you're looking for. But when you reach the end of the almost truth, you're always left looking for more. And the almost truth that we're talking about today is no exception. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about an almost truth that some of you might actually think is a total truth. And so bear with me, because I believe by the end of this, we will see how God wants to show us a better way forward. So the almost truth we're talking about today is this, that nobody expects you to be perfect, because nobody is perfect. We're all human. We all make mistakes. And because of that, we shouldn't expect anybody to be perfect, except for that one guy who was actually perfect. And he doesn't just expect us to be perfect. He goes further than that, and he actually commands it. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Now, some of you read that, as you see that, as you hear that, maybe what you're feeling is this like overwhelming weight being placed on your shoulders that you know you can never live up to. Maybe what you're feeling is the sense that I may never be perfect, but at least I'm better than those jokers over there. Or maybe you're one of those rare individuals with all the confidence within you. You're thinking, everybody else, just sit back and take notes. I'm going to show you how it's done. Whatever it is that you might be feeling right now, my hope is that by the end of this message, you will know and believe that perfection is not a prize to achieve, it's a promise we receive. Perfection is not a prize to achieve, it's a promise that we receive. Now, how does that work? Well, the thing about Jesus is every time He speaks, something always happens. Something always happens because His words are never empty. They're filled with the power to inform us about what is good and true, and the power to transform us into more than we could ever be on our own. There's this pastor, Darrell Johnson, who writes about how when Jesus says, "Be clean," the leper becomes clean. When Jesus says, "Be still," the storm grows calm. When Jesus says, "Be gone," demons go running. When He says, "Lazarus, come out," a dead man starts walking. Because every time Jesus speaks, something always happens. And so it might be the case that when Jesus says, be perfect, he's going to do again what he has done before. Not by our own efforts, but by his power at work in us. But what does it mean to be perfect in the eyes of God? I think the most helpful definition for us, and the one that is most faithful to God's word, is to simply look at Jesus, who was perfect in every single way. He loved God fully. He loved other people so deeply that he went all the way to the cross for us. So, I would say being made perfect is the process of us becoming like Jesus, so that we can love God and love others the same way that he does, fully, truly, deeply, sacrificially. This is what Jesus is inviting us into, because when we place our faith in Jesus, he places us on the path to perfection. Proverbs 24 says that the righteous may fall 7 times, but they rise again. And so what I want to do for the rest of this message is actually jump ahead to another passage in Matthew's gospel where Matthew lays out the process that Jesus gives to us. But even more than that, in this passage of Scripture, we actually get the heart of Jesus revealed more clearly than anywhere else. So, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, Jesus speaking says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened." Whatever burden is bearing down on you, Jesus is inviting you to bring it to him, because when you do, he will give you rest. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." In all 4 Gospels, 89 chapters, 3,800 verses, this is the one place where Jesus describes his own heart. And what he tells us is that he's gentle and humble. He says that you will find rest for your souls, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So how do we partner with God in his plans to make us perfect? The first thing that we have to do is to remove our pride. We have to remove our pride. That verse begins, "Come to me," Jesus says, "all you who are weary and burdened." Because pride is a heavy weight that will bear down on us until we're willing to lay it down at the feet of Jesus. And pride is the thing that will actually prevent us from coming to Jesus, because it convinces us that we can handle it all on our own. And that's just like not only true for people who aren't following Jesus, this is true for us as Christians too. When I first became a Christian, I was very confident in my ability to get it totally right, to be the best doggone Christian there ever was. And very quickly, I fell into this thing that is called legalism. There's these people in the Bible called Pharisees, and Jesus had many words for them, and they were loving, but also very true. And it didn't take long for me to realize that pursuing perfection in my own strength always leads to performance. And eventually I got tired of keeping up the act. So much so that I just stopped trying altogether. Because I'm the kind of person where it's like, if I can't win, I don't even want to play. And so after perfectionism stopped working, I drifted into complacency. And I just started to settle for the fact that there are some sins in my life that I don't like, but I tried to overcome them, so I'm just going to ignore them. And maybe you can relate, because for all of us, as we go on this journey of following Jesus, there will be a temptation to try to do it in our own strength. And if we do that, we'll fail every single time. And when that happens, the temptation then is to drift into complacency, because we start thinking, I can and I will do it all, but we can't and we don't. So oftentimes we start thinking, well, if I don't want to, I shouldn't have to. Either way, it's still rooted in pride, because it's all about me and what I want. And the thing that's so dangerous about pride is it's not just the thing that drives this almost truth, it's the thing that drives every almost truth that we've talked about in this whole series. If you were here in week one, we talked about the almost truth that I decide what is true. In week two, the almost truth that I deserve to put my needs first. Week three, the almost truth that I am enough. Week four, my happiness matters most. Every single one of them is driven by pride. Pride that keeps us from coming to Jesus and prevents us from experiencing the work that He wants to do in our lives. And the thing that's so dangerous and tempting about pride is that it takes our eyes off of God and puts them onto ourselves. And so when we fall short, we start to feel like we are the problem. You see, pride always leads to shame. And maybe you felt the crippling weight of shame at some point in your life. Maybe you've tried really, really hard to overcome an addiction, but its hooks are so deep in you that even if you make it a few days without going back to that habit, it only lasts a few days, and you eventually fall back into it. And after you do, you feel disgusted with yourself, or maybe you've been trying so hard to be the best parent or spouse that you can be. But when you're home with your family, the people that you say you love the most, your temper keeps running out, and you lose it on them, and you're left feeling worthless. Or maybe for you, you have this tendency to exaggerate your strengths and hide your weaknesses, because you desperately want all the people around you to see you as the person that you wish you were. But keeping the lie up is getting to the point that it's so exhausting and it's so confusing that you've lost sight of who you even are. This is the problem with pride. It keeps us from coming to Jesus. And it always leads to shame, and shame will bleed you dry. So then, what do we do? Well, the thing that a lot of people in culture will tell you is to give yourself grace. But there's a problem. Because if the solution to my pride is giving myself the grace that I need, then it's still all about me. And more pride will never actually solve the problem. What we need is the grace of Jesus. That's why step one to being made perfect is to remove your pride. Step two is to receive His grace. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." You see, the process of being made perfect begins with grace. It ends with grace. And every step of the way, it is fueled by grace. The grace of Jesus that is always more than enough. In 2 Corinthians 12, Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." You don't have to give yourself something that Jesus has already offered. And His grace, and His grace alone, is sufficient. Now, the thing that's tricky about receiving grace is it requires us to admit weakness. Because grace is only actually needed when you fall short. And so, if you don't ever do step one, you'll never experience step two. And it's hard enough to admit our weaknesses to God. But it can be even more difficult to admit our weaknesses to another person. But it's in the receiving of grace from God through His people that oftentimes the greatest healing takes place. And there are some of you who need to know that is exactly what God wants to do with you. When you come to Him and you confess all the things that you have done wrong, He will respond with so much more grace than you could ever imagine. More grace than you have ever experienced. Because even though all of us are flawed, He is perfect in every single way. His grace is without limits. His love is unconditional. And He's inviting all of us to receive the gift that He offers. So how do we become the people that God has made us to be? First, we remove our pride. Second, we receive His grace. And then the third thing that we do is we respond with obedience. We respond with obedience. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you'll find rest for your souls." A yoke is an instrument for work, for getting things done. Now, this is super important because Jesus doesn't just fix us up and then send us on our way and forget about us. He didn't die on the cross so that we could just kick up our feet and chill on the couch. He died on the cross to make us who we were meant to be so that we could join Him in His good plans for the world. So what Jesus is inviting us to do is to walk with Him step by step, side by side, strapped in next to Him, doing the work that He is doing. And so after you remove your pride, after you receive His grace, then you got to walk with Him in obedience. So what step of obedience do you need to take? Maybe for you, it was what we talked about all the way back in week one. It's dying to your truth so that you can live by God's truth. Maybe it's what we talked about in week two, choosing to sacrifice yourself to serve others. Week three, admitting that you're not enough, but turning to the one who is always more than enough. Or last week, if you were here, prioritizing your growth in holiness over doing all the stuff that just makes you happy. Whatever that thing might be for you, I believe God wants all of us to remove our pride, to receive His grace, and to respond with obedience. So this week, when you're driving home from church, sitting around the dinner table, I want you to ask and answer these three questions. The first one is, what pride do you need to remove? The second one, what grace do you need to receive? And the last one, what step of obedience do you need to take? And I feel so much pressure to get it all right, a pressure that God has not put on me, a pressure that I have put on myself, that I need to remove by receiving His grace. The grace that meets me in my weakness, that reminds me that my value is not based on what I do or don't do. My value is based in who He says that I am. The grace that actually gives me power in my weakness, the power to be attentive when I'm distracted, the power to be patient when I'm stressed, the power to be loving when I'm tired. And so the step of obedience that I'm trying my best to take is whenever I'm feeling that pressure to be perfect in my own strength, to perform, to not ask for help or admit when I'm struggling, is to come back to Jesus and ask Him for grace. Ask Him for strength. Ask Him for wisdom, and to admit to the people close to me that I'm having a hard time right now. Will you pray for me? Because I'm so confident that God can and will use all of that, us removing our pride, receiving His grace, and responding with obedience to make us who we're meant to be. To make us people who look and who love like Jesus. So whenever you feel shame rearing its ugly head, whenever you feel like perfectionism or complacency is trying to set in, remember that His grace is more than enough. The final verse in that passage, verse 30, Jesus tells us that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. How is that possible? Well, it's possible because perfection is not a prize that we achieve, it's a promise that we receive. And Jesus always keeps His promises. So therefore, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Let us pray. So, Father, we come before You right now so grateful for who You are and for all that You've done in our lives. So grateful for the unlimited grace that You offer us. We pray that all of us would recognize the areas of our lives where we're tempted to do it without You, that You would speak to us, so that we could respond with obedience. For those who are hearing this message and you find yourself weighed down by your pride, by some form of perfectionism or complacency, or even worse, you feel so ashamed about all of the times that you've fallen short that you just want a little break from it all. Jesus is inviting you to find rest in Him. And so if that's you and you just want to help to remove the burden, to move forward in His grace, in His love, to be who He's created you to be, Lord, we pray for all these people. We ask that You would help us, me included, trust that Your grace is more than enough, that when we feel ourselves tired, worn out at the end of ourselves, that we would recognize that You are always there to meet us. So, Lord, help us to trust You, to love You, to follow You. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.